from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster. I don't have the whole world in my hand, or I don't think I could, like, I couldn't even fit it in there. But I got a bunch of like, if I had a business, it would be, I've got like a bunch of meandering swirls in a can. And I'm going to let them out and help you, you know, swirly meanders, to put you to sleep. And sometimes I say stuff that doesn't even make any sense. And why is that? Well, it's time for the podcast. What if I had churls in my hand? You'd say, what's a churl? I'd say, well, you know what it is? It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And if you're a regular listener, if you could pay attention through the credits, because these are the ways we keep the show free and a-going. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody.
All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. I want to thank Gail, Allison, Sarah, Jessica, and JR for supporting sponsor Quip. They went to getquip.com/sleep and signed up. They shared about it online. They're all enjoying their Quips, just like I am. I just got my new refill pack in the mail. I still procrastinate. I got to change my brush head out, but thanks for supporting the sponsors. I really, really appreciate it. getquip.com/sleep. Hey, everybody, I don't know if you've checked out any of our live shows yet. You know what our live shows, kind of people chill, they fall asleep, they watch, kind of what it's like to have a slightly more interesting version of the podcast, or very similar. So some people are engaged. So if you want to check out our live shows, I got tickets for our June show up, but I also got big news about PodX runs from May 31st to June 2nd in Nashville. And not only am I going to be doing a Sleep With Me live show, I'm going to be on a bunch of panels there. And you know everybody's favorite podcast producer, podcast host, Stephen Ray Morris. I'm going to be on See Jurassic Right with Stephen. So you don't want to miss that either. You say, well, geez, I love Scoots. I love Stephen. I love Jurassic Park. I love the Percast. And you could get 10% off. What does it say? You could get 10% off any ticket type by going to podx.com/sleep or entering the code SLEEP at checkout. And you could always find out more information at sleepwithmepodcast.com/live show about all my appearances. Can't wait to see you there at PodX or here in Alameda. Thanks.
Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. What about a little song, a little ditty about
Chris
that?
Posty poster song. Sounds like an earful. Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. the Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
Could be for Mother's Day.
It's coming up soon.
the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Night Vale Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mr. Bart. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can find me. And by the way, make sure you subscribe to the podcast, whatever app you're using. It's free to subscribe. It just means you get the episodes automatically delivered, or you get an update when a new episode comes out. Make it a little bit easier on you, if you like. And that's it. What do you say? We get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever is keeping you awake, whether you're thoughts you're thinking about, you know, things on your mind. So thoughts, feelings, either physical sensations or emotions bubbling up, or both. It's one of those things. It could be whatever's keeping you awake. You know, travel, crows, not always, but crowing, you know, or what are the other ones called? The cock-a-doodle-doers. You know, whether it's on the inside or the outside, how's that sound? Or, you know, for me, it's usually both. You say, or the mysterious wake-ups, or not-so-mysterious ones. Whatever is keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off of that. What I'm going to do, I got a safe place here. As I like to say on a regular basis, I smooth it, I pat it, I rub it down. I say safe place. I say BBD. I say BBD. How about this one? What if BBD, Belle Biv DeVoe, went on tour with BB-8, and, you know, I like to think about BB-8 and BB-88. Talk about Motown Philly being back again. You got more alliteration in there than if I knew how to define alliteration, I'd know what to do with. We'll try to ponder that. Maybe we could get BB-8, or BB-88 is the one that actually comes into the studio to talk. But let's see, what I'm going to do is I got that safe place smoothed and padded down. And those are references that cover like three generations maybe. You say, well, I don't know who BBD is, Scooch. I remember my dad wore BVDs. Is that any, no, it doesn't have any, I remember those ads too. Anyway, okay, so I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. Whatever that was, that was a natural one because I was trying to think of something. I don't know if that's considered like a mutter or a stutter, like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S. So it'd probably be something in between a mutter and a stutter. So a nutter, no, L-M-N-O, utter, maybe, L-M-N-O-P, putter. Yeah, I guess it was a putter. I was puttering around with my words. L-M-N-O-P, quarter. I mean, my mind is quartered, believe me. Q-R-S, rudder, T, U-V, oh, wait, no, Q-R-S. Okay, so sorry, I got distracted there. Let me use extra words. I'm going to go off topic. Now, if you're new, you might already be saying, and this is legitimate, you have a cause to say this. What in the heck is going on here? What is this person talking about? So let me give you a couple pieces of information. One, this kind of podcast is not, again, every word's got to have a definition. I would say passively. This podcast is best passively consumed. But it's best consumed somewhere between passively and actively. Like when you're chilling. You say, well, I'm not passive, but I'm not active. I'm chilling. You know, people used to chillax. I think that was invented by, like, Judd Apatow and Seth Rogen, a couple other people whose names escape me because my mind just blanked. So, where was I? Like, man, sometimes I get so lost in my own thoughts. But what I'm going to do is I'm gonna be here. Oh, if you're new. Well, this podcast doesn't make any sense, and neither do I. So kind of look at it like you're saying, huh, what is that? And then I'll tell you the structure of the show. So then you have another piece of information. Show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep it free for everybody, is the people that choose to take action. They help keep us free for everybody. It's a great system, huh? Then there's an intro. Now, the intro is around 12 to 13 to 14 to 15 to 11 to 17 to 16 minutes or so of me just puttering around. And you'd say, are you going to get to the point? Well, I'm kind of puttering. I think you don't really hear, like, the only things you hear about puttering are old-fashioned cars in cartoons and characters in cartoons. And I guess I'd say a putter is like a car that goes putter, 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 putter. That's a good name for a pet, too. We had Pitter and Patter. Remember? Regular listeners will remember or note that I like to encourage people to name their pets. It seems like I'm always naming pets that are like purchased at the same time or imaginary twin pets. So I said, if you have two pets, you could name them Pitter and Patter. Now, let's just say, for example, you had two kitties. Are those what they're called? Kittens. And they were named Pitter and Patter. Or, you know, Bunny. Yeah, let's say Bunnies. And then you got a third, maybe a couple of years later, name it Putter. And actually, Putter's the name of a character, one of my, on the movie Billie Jean. So that's also cool. So where was I? Okay, so I went off. Oh, I just putter around. That's what I was saying. So that's the intro where I kind of try to explain what the podcast is. Most listeners use it to ease into bedtime as they get ready for bed or as they're in bed, like getting ready to drift off. It's different every time, but it's familiar because they say, okay, here's what I'm a regular listener. I listen to 680 episodes of Sleep With Me. Here's what I know is going to happen in the intro. Scoots is going to talk. He's going to try to explain what the podcast is. He's going to use the words lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones and pointless meanders. He's going to send his voice across the deep, dark night. And he'll putter around. And then the episode may start and I may drift off. Tonight we'll be talking about, so that's the intro. And if you're new, you could say, when the heck is the Game of Thrones stuff going to start? Or when are you going to, and I say, well, it takes a while, you know, just like getting into bed. I want to get you comfortable. I want to get you give you time to get cozy. Now, a few percentage, I can't remember what it is, like 2 or 3% of people just skip. They start the episode at like 18 or 20 minutes. And if you do that, there'll be some business between the intro and the show. Then we'll be talking about Game of Thrones. But if you don't watch Game of Thrones or you say, well, I'm not so sure about that. Don't worry. I'll be talking in the most meandering, indirect way about everything. Then we'll talk about some factoids that may have come up in the episode or that I'm curious about. Then we'll talk to Tom and Pounce. Then we'll have Parade of the Old Gods and New. And then we'll have some thank yous. So that's the structure of the show. If you're new, also a couple of things. You don't need to listen to this podcast. This is the only podcast you don't have to pay attention to. You don't have to pay attention to, or you don't have to listen. You could say, well, I'm going to turn you down to a mutter, like a more, I prefer a mutter over a putter. And I know your stutter. And I'd say, okay, go ahead and turn it down a little if that works for you. But I'm going to be here to help me be here to keep you company. You know, whether you like a mutter or putter, or you say, well, okay, and I've had enough of your stutters. So that's the structure of the show. Oh, you don't need to listen to me. And there's no pressure to fall asleep. The reason the shows are over an hour, for the most part, is because I want to give you plenty of time. So there's no pressure. I'm going to be here till the end. So you can kind of say, well, I don't know if I'm ready to fall asleep. Maybe I'm just going to listen for a little while and let Scoots keep me company. And I'd say, that's fine. Just drift off at your leisure. That's the way the show works. You fall asleep whenever you want. Maybe you don't even, ideally, you don't even know it. You're listening to me. You're wondering if I'm going to go back to pitter and patter and putter. And that we need a character, Potter. Pets, pitter, patter, and putter. And we need another word that putter, putter, pitter, patter, putter, potter, prodigiously put, pets, pitter, and putter, and patter, ponder, pondering, puttering, pondering, putter, prodigiously patting, pitter, and patter, and putter. Or you could just say pitter, patter, putter, pitter, patter, and putter. Maybe that's not quite a tongue twister. But ideally, the podcast is a bit of a mind twist, you know, mind twister or whatever. Not a mind. So that sounds a little bit. I say, yeah, more like a mind meander. So that's a structure show. That's what to expect. You can also expect me maybe in another episode to talk to BB-8 and BBD and see if we could get them to get working together. But yeah, that's all. I mean, I guess that's basically it. Like, the reason I make the show, the reason I'm here is because I want to, I've always wanted someone when I couldn't sleep and when I can't sleep, I really just want someone to say, hey, that stinks. I can see, can't sleep there. How about if I sit here and tell you a little story? How about if I just keep you company and try to take your mind off stuff? Cause I really think you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a nice place to rest and get comfortable. And I don't know what else I could do, but I could sit here and keep you company and tell you a little story about a TV show I watch. And you say, well, what's the TV show? Well, Game of Thrones. Ooh, that sounds too exciting. Well, not when I talk about it. More, I call it Game of Drones. And really, I just drone on. I mean, if you're ever curious about you know, me not like a TV show, and it, like if you ever had the experience of watching a movie and then not watching it for 20 years and then 20 years later watching it again and you say, I watched that movie? That's kind of like when I talk about the TV show. If you see it after I talk about it or before, you say, Scooch, you were watching the same episode as me? I mean, the only time I thought of that was when you talked about all of the jawlines. On all of the characters of the show. I mean, I definitely noticed, well, I guess everyone has a jawline in some sense. Are you sure you were watching Game of Thrones, Scoots? You weren't watching like a channel where nothing was on? Nope, that was Game of Thrones, season 8, maybe. I mean, I'm pretty sure. I watched it 4 times. Oh, wow, you watched the episode more than once. It sounded like you maybe barely, like, are you sure you didn't watch it, like, on an airplane, on someone's airplane TV, like, 4 rows in front of you without any audio? Yeah, no, I watched it, yeah. Oh, good, well, I guess it's working then, because it put me right to sleep. So that's the show. I'm here to keep you company, take your mind off stuff as you drift off. I'm glad you're here. Give it a few tries if you're new. That's what almost everyone says. Here's the thing. I really want to help you fall asleep. It's that simple. I believe you. Like I said, you deserve it. You deserve it. You need it. You know, you need your sleep, and I want you to get it. If it doesn't work for you, I'm sorry. You could go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou to check out some other stuff. But really, that's it. I'm glad you're here, and I work very hard. I earn and I strive, and I hope I can help you fall asleep. Thanks for coming by, and here's a couple of ways we keep the show going.
All right, everybody. I want to thank Claritin, tonight's sponsor, for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Air Doctor. You know I got an Air Doctor. It is running in the other room right now, and especially in the winter. Americans spend 90% of their time indoors. We take about 20,000 breaths a day. The indoor air we breathe is 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some cases, up to 100 times more polluted, according to the EPA. And, you know, that comes with a lot of consequences for your health. So what's the solution? Well, an Air Doctor is the solution. It's captured the attention of CNN, Money, ABC, and more. That's the Air Doctor air purifier. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes pollutants such as allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mite, mold spores, even bacteria and viruses that make you sick. You got to get yourself an Air Doctor. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day breathe easy money back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com. Use the promo code SLEEP. You'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. This is exclusive to podcast customers. You will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in this special offer by going to AirDoctorPro.com. That's AirDoctorPro.com, and use that promo code SLEEP. Thanks, everybody.
Hey, everybody. It's Scoots here, and we're talking about season 8, episode 5 of Game of Thrones, The Bells, and I'm just firing up the old Roose Bolt, let's just say Roose Bolt and fantasy fiction machine, kind of, because we're, what was that? I don't even remember what that machine did. This is more of an interesting thing. We're really solving a mystery this week. But before we get to it, there's a recap. Almost everything was from season 7, I believe. Or season 8, excuse me, wrong season. Except for some of the chatter that Dany's hearing, I think, in the last scene and her, like, or the talking in her head. Which may have been from every season. I mean, sure, you can find a great breakdown of that. Or if that was from an episode, I'm not even sure. I don't know if that was like, that'd be interesting. I'm sure people are talking about this. You could check out any of the Game of Thrones podcasts or the ton of writing about it, which I have never done before this season, but now I've been consuming a lot of that stuff. Just because they say, well, it's the last season. I got to make the most of it, make the toast of it, as Scoot says. But yeah, so I'd look that up to see, because I'll find out after, but I don't consume anything before I record. But yeah, I don't know if that was from an episode or that was like previously on, where the audio was from one place and the video was, or the film was from another place. And then we start with the opening credits, which, I mean, I gotta be honest, I'm really interested in what the credits next week are going to be like. But it's pretty much the same, except I noticed there's the pyres from Winterfell. And I said, was that there last episode or not? And Winterfell is still not in good shape. Again, I don't know if that was just from last episode too or not.
And a lot of people, I get a lot of fan reaction from as soon as this episode ended airing of Oh Boy Scoots. But little did everybody know, I was already on the case here. And I think I can really settle a lot of things of people kind of saying, what in the heck? We covered a little bit. I mean, so we talked about season 8, episode 3, kind of having a strong similarity to this 80s ski comedy. And again, sometimes this is like direct influence, sometimes it's indirect influence, and sometimes it's just collective, like the shifting sands of the collective unconscious. I don't know if anyone ever said that, but like, I don't know if Weiss and, like, I don't know if Game of Thrones is influenced by this or not. And I did it, you know, I do these, well, anyway, I have connections, and not good connections, but I do have a lot of connections of people with interesting tastes. And I went to the screening that people were saying, this is going to, do you think this is going to be, no, at the time, no one knew this. I didn't have anybody that had anything from Game of Thrones, but they said, I got this Italian, it's a team of animation, live action filmmakers. And they kind of like make these in Italy, they're making these Miyazaki style. This is an underground movie. And the reason I say that is because it's based on a lot of different IPs, intellectual property. And that's why it's not like a, like hasn't been released. Plus, it was pretty avant-garde. But they said, the people that reached out to me said, I feel like this is like a Game of Thrones episode. It's like after I did that one about the 80s movie. And it didn't have subtitles, and it was in it was in Italian. In some Japanese, but like, I didn't have anybody like, that was interpreting it or anything for me. And I was only able to see the movie once, but I did bring my notebook. So like, it makes it a little bit easier that it ended up, I saw this movie, and then I saw the episode of Game of Thrones, and it was very much, so similar. And I think that's like where you say, okay, was there like a, how did this movie happen when it's almost exactly like, again, just like the 80s movie, shot for shot, nearly shot for shot, different than the episode, The Bells, but not that different. Characters, everything. And the plot of the movie, which again, I was trying to say, they said, well, you can't really put it in English, but it was basically, it had a nicer title, but it was like Flowers in the Attic 2 was what I kept calling it. And they say, no, Scoots, it's not like, that's not exactly it. So there's this movie called Flowers in the Attic, also a book. Then there's a lot of stories where kids go through the wardrobe. Like, I don't think this was like exactly like a C.S. Lewis, but so this movie, I'm just trying to give you the backstory of the movie. It's profoundly influenced by the movie Flowers in the Attic, but not a direct reboot or sequel, but it is a sequel in some sense, because then it also mashes up with, fantastical elements that you might see in a Miyazaki movie and stuff that you might see in a movie based on a C.S. Lewis book, but not exactly. We're just the characters of the family, kids, you'll see as they kind of flush it out. You think there was one or two, what's that Disney one? Fantasia. So a lot going on. So I'll run through the movie as I, took these notes. I already said that. So, and again, I don't know the characters' names in the movies, but it opens with Varys, who in the movie kind of plays this uncle figure. And, it's because this movie's about these gardens. But you'll see that he's writing about the true heir to the garden. He's writing this note, a letter about the gardens and the keeper of the gardens. Then a child comes in who's this little bird. And again, my retelling of it may be inaccurate. So if you've seen the movie, you're in a rare company of a handful of people. But so the child comes in, she says, the garden, this is what I was able to pick up. The garden queen isn't sleeping. And Varys says, Uncle Varys or whatever you want to call him in this,
says it was all worth it. Like, Varys is a lover of growing things. He gives a serious look. It is all worth it. Serious look. Then we see Tyrion watching out a window. And Tyrion, you'll see, we'll get into like Tyrion, who Tyrion is in this movie. Not the Tyrion from Game of Thrones, but I'm just using, because it is just a eerie shot-for-shot remake. He's watching Jon Snow pull up on this duck pond. And he's got a serious look. And now Jon Snow is one of the kids that went through the wardrobe into this world. And Arya is another kid, but the other kids, Bran and Sansa, even though they're not in this episode, they were part of it. Like, because just in case there's another version of the movie that corresponds to next week. So Jon Snow and Varys is waiting for Jon Snow. So they start talking off board. They come across this, they were on a, like a rowboat in a duck pond. And they talk about that Varys is basically like, you could be the king of the gardens, Jon Snow. And he kind of uses a little bit of a patriarchy kind of angle. And what does it say? John Kidd's Through Almanac story. I don't know what that means. Oh, John is one of the kids who went through the armoire. But he could be the garden king, Varys says. Patriarchy rules. He says, you might be a right ruler. And he says, I know you know you could be the garden king. And he also says, what I tell you now is true. And Jon Snow wants nothing to do with leadership. So we kind of realize that this is very much like the episode. He says, she's my queen. And he says, bye, you know, like, back boy, bye. And Tyrion's watching. He knows what's happening. You know, he's a smart guy. And he goes into another room. He says, your grace. He walks in. And this is where we start to see the parallels between the movie Flowers and the Attic in this. And if you haven't seen the movie Flowers in the Attic, don't. Because it's a movie about these twins. Very much, again, like Jamie and Cersei, that are a brother and sister. They're older, like 20 years old or something. They're also, I don't know if in the movie they're in love, but because I've been so influenced by Jamie and Cersei, and they're watching their siblings, which in this was Tyrion, and I don't know, was there another Lannister? I can't even remember anymore. It doesn't matter in this case. And they live in the movie, the Flowers in the Attic, they live in a mansion, but they can only stay in the attic. And their mom's going through something, but she's kind of also, like, very much like Targaryens. Their mother and their grandmother are very much like Targaryens, even though they're Lannisters. Oh, boy, this really complicates trying to explain Flowers in the Attic in a sleep podcast inside an Italian, like, anime. You know, this is complicated stuff. It's good for sleep, I guess. But the reason I bring up Flowers in the Attic here is because even though Daenerys' character, which we'll call her Dany in this, in the movie, she's the self-proclaimed Queen of Dragons. That's the Game of Thrones. She's the Queen of Flowers, or the Garden Queen. But they have this moment, because in the movie, the Italian movie, that's Flowers in the Attic 2, like, really, the Targaryen, the getting carried away Targaryen-ness, really, like, in Flowers in the Attic was not Danny's family, but the Lannisters, which I know is so tough to follow. But as soon as we see a look on her face, it harkens back to the mom and the grandmother in the movie Flowers in the Attic, which you say, wait a second, they were, because again, this isn't about Game of Thrones, so but again, you're saying, she's got that same look, which is a look of like a door without hinges, I guess you'd say, as a way to put it, like indirectly. So just her look, if you've seen Flowers in the Attic, as soon as you see Dany, even in the Game of Thrones or in this movie, she's the Queen of Gardens in the movie, though, you say, that's like the grandmother in Flowers in the Attic, even though, so it's more like a filmic technique
And, you know, foreshadowing, no doubt about it. Okay, so flashback to looking flowers in the attic. They say the garden has been betrayed. And she says, Jon Snow. And he goes, no, Varys. And she goes, no. You told Sansa. Or you heard this. He heard it from you, who heard it from Sansa, who heard it from Jon. Rumors. Bothering me every day. Just need some time, you know, to get away. And she goes, spreading secrets because of Sansa. You got played, dude, by Sansa, who's not in this movie, but she's one of the kids from the wardrobe, which, again, their just influence is different because they came to this world through a wardrobe. And they claim to be on the side of growing things and flowers everywhere in balance. The Stark kids, we'll call them in this. Now that she used to be the queen, she was the queen of the garden, right? But solely Daenerys is becoming a queen of flowers only. Or maybe, I don't know. But she says, he says, my intentions were good. And he says, we all want a garden of growth. And she said that one of them says, it doesn't matter now. No. Then there's another close-up. You see the parallels with, again, flowers in the attic, hingeless doors. Also, like, people would say, you just say, okay, this isn't, like, Danny's not in a grounded state. I think we could say that. And maybe, like she's, I don't know. So then we go back to Varys, who in this movie is writing letters. Again, Varys saying, oh, wait, maybe I shouldn't have wrote that down. Maybe he was writing in his diary. Takes off his rings, which I think in the movie was symbolic of him knowing that he was going to be off. Then Grey Worm comes. He's one of the garden guards in this movie. And they go down to this beach by the duck pond. And Danny, John, and Tyrion are there. John's hands are behind his back, I think, just standing. That's how he likes to stand. And Tyrion says, it was me, man, to Varys. I told on you. And Varys says, well, I hope I'm wrong. He doesn't say this, but we know as the audience. You see, look at that. Don't you remember the movie Flowers in the Attic? Because Tyrion was one of the kids that needed flowers in the attic anyway, or whatever the movie was. And I haven't seen the movie Flowers in the Attic ever in a clear-headed state. Either I was really young, or I was and I never seen the movie straight through because it's just, I don't know. So I should probably stop referring to it too because, let's see. Tyrion, he says it was me. This is like how you get to this point. You say, okay, what's more sleepy, this episode of Game of Thrones or you say flowers? Okay, so hope I'm wrong. The children raised in worlds? What does that say? All children raised in worlds? I don't know what that means. Does that, my handwriting is, I hope I'm wrong. All children raised in worlds. Basically everyone wants a kids raised in a world with great growth and gardens. Maybe this, I was saying that, these are all like kids that grew up, like they came to this world as children, even though they're adults, they're still acting like children. There's a nice arm touch in there. And then, Danny says, Lord Varys, I, queen of, the garden queen, first of my name, breaker chains, you know, sentence you to be kissed by my giant goose. And she has this giant goose she rides, which is gross. Don't get kissed by a goose. It's a pretty, because you see, I don't know where that beak's been. I don't like, it's also symbolically there, like a sign of like that you have to leave, like that people like, no longer, when you've been kissed by a goose, they actually call you a goose kisser, and you have to leave the area immediately. You can never return.
And so he's kissed by, Varys is kissed by Goose, and then it's like they ignore him. Danny, Grey Worm, oh, then Danny's like in a room. Grey Worm's there. Yeah, they're kind of talking about Missandei. Yeah, who, like, before the movie, so that was her best friend and her main, one of her main advisors that helped her kind of see the balance of weeds and flowers and other growing things. By one of the two twins. So Missandei, the sister. Okay, so get back to the Lannisters in this case to make it easy to describe. The Lannisters are Jaime and Cersei, who were the twins, and then Tyrion's one of the younger siblings. Now, Cersei, she grew this giant, so she lives in the, still lives in the house where they lived by herself, like with her advisors and stuff. And I think, this is just when the movie starts. And around her house, this giant mansion is this giant garden. A lot of it is protected by what we would call weeds, like thistles, prickers, cactuses, whatever, the other stuff, like prickly stuff. Also, there's flowers in there, too. But on the outside, it just looks like it's a bunch of pricker bushes and stuff. What was my point there? Goose kissed. I mean, she is a different thing other than a goose, but kissed Missandei, who made her, like, she had to leave the gardens forever and go be an adult. I think, like, that's the other thing. If you get kissed by a goose, you have to go live a grown-up life, even though you're a grown-up. Because the thing is, it's a garden of plenty. So as long as it's in balance, which I guess none of them realize. They say, well, I'm an adult. I'm a kid in an adult's body. I don't know these scientific things. I'm trying to put words in the characters' mouths now. But they're talking about Missandei, who is now, you know, in the adult world. She left the kids to the world, the garden world, the garden realm. By one of those twins, by the sister. Jon Snow comes in. This is like 1630 in the HBO app. There's a great, amazing long pause. And then Danny says, didn't I tell you your sister's blabbermouth? And she goes, again, no love around me. Only people worried about getting kissed by Goose. And he says, I love you. You're my queen. Queen of my garden, in the garden in my heart. And she says, only a queen. He goes, well, also technically you're my aunt, which again is convoluted because they came through the armoire, which makes me think everybody in this whole episode, the whole series is somehow related because she's like, there's this great whisper. She says, all right, then, after he won't kiss his aunt. They put iron whisper. Her whisper is iron level. And she says, let it be goose kisses then. There are people worried about being kissed by the goose. Then we're in the former throne room. Queen of the gardens or garden queen or whatever. Tyrion's trying to talk to her. He says, review this. Even in other worlds, there's IPM, integrated management of things that aren't good for growing things. And he goes, we just happen to have the pleasure of being in that situation already. He goes, the weeds are balanced. You know, they're a place where things live that deal with the things that would mess up the flowers and the fruiting and the vegetabling. And he goes, you know, whose fault is it to be weeds? But meanwhile, you know, Danny's just not there, like not 100% present anymore in her understanding of the balance of gardens and growth. And she says, mercy is our strength. She goes, for the future of gardens, you know, people shouldn't have to go through gardens and get pricked. This is pretty simple. Worry about IVs or anything. So Oh, I put long story here. For the future of gardens, they put long story. So Circe, I think I already explained this. Yeah, here's my explanation. Sister Circe, in this movie, has her own garden around the mansion, pricker bushes, and more. So Circe's basically like, we're going to weed every weed in the garden, starting with the garden around this mansion. And this Circe, because she's calling herself the queen of the gardens too. And, you know, she's just this queen of weeds, you know, more like queen of weeds. And a couple of things, people are like adult children are, you know, children, adult children, we'll just say, are living in all of this. And they actually have like, so like, here's the thing. I've done a lot. When I was a kid, we used to spend a lot of time in pricker bushes. And so you might say this is ridiculous. And we never did this exactly because we spent a lot of time there. But you learn where you could crawl through the pricker bushes without getting scraped. You just naturally learn that. Because we had an entire yard next to our house. That was the backyard of our neighbors that was never trimmed to anything. And it was 98% pricker bushes. And we still found a way to get through there and play in there. And even like places like where you could live. I mean, we didn't, but we said, oh, when we move away from home, we're going to live in here. But if you weren't there, what you'd do is you'd attach bells to the places where you could crawl through and shake them. That's what they do in this movie, which I said is brilliant. Oh, if you hear a bell ring, head towards it. You'll know that's a safe spot to crawl through. Or maybe even walk through. And Tyrion says, well, how about this? If we decide we're not going to weed the gardens, the bells are a sound of safety. So we'll just ring all the bells and everybody will know, okay, gardens and the weeds are back in balance. And Circe will probably give up because you know she has to. It's common sense. So that's where the bells kind of came from in this one. You know, also, there's like flower, like again, this is where it starts to get a little fantastical. There are flowers in pricker bushes, and you realize that they're like Fantasia. So they're not, it's a little bit, so it's more acceptable. They're still vegetative, but they walk around and stuff. Because you see, they don't have eyes or mouths. So we identify with them a little bit less. Than something that's fully anthropomorphized. And then Circe, or Khaleesi says, Danny says, also your brother was busted. He was trying to sneak back to your sister's house. And she says, next time you fail me, it'll be the last time you fail me. You say, holy mackerel. Queen's comet. Queen Circe is getting all the kids behind the pricker bushes. So we see her there. A lot of kids are berry picking. Onion Knight waits. We see the Onion Knight. That's, what's his name? It's not Sir Jorah. Come on, Scoots. But one of my favorite characters who's, you know, my brain doesn't always work right. But, so he's waiting, for Jon and Tyrion. He says, in daybreak, we're going to swoop in there and start pulling weeds. Nobody's going to like it. I don't know what that says. Jon and Tyrion. Oh, an onion. Then we see the Hound and Arya, and they're on a mission. They say, we're going to go in. We're just going to ask her to leave the house, and then the whole thing will be solved with Circe. Then Jamie goes to Tyrion goes to see this Jamie character in the movie, exactly like the show, in a tent, 23:30. Before he goes into the tent, there's a brief comic interlude, which just translation, so you could see that 23:30 or something. And then there's even, then there's, you know, there's a brief comedy between Jamie and he says, how'd they find you? He goes, my golden hand, dude. He goes, I'm not the brightest. He goes, I'm the looker, you know? And he goes, oh yeah, I forgot. He goes, yeah, you're just, he goes, I didn't realize you're the brains, I'm the looks. Now they don't know about Arya and the Hound going to convince Circe. So he says, go convince Circe.
you know, because we need butterflies, we need weeds, we need birds, we need grubs, we need everything. And he goes, do you even know about soil erosion? And he goes, I'm the looks, man, not the brains. He goes, no one, he goes, between Cersei and Dany, no one even believes that, you know, this is soil erosion issue too. Water retention. He goes, do you know anything about rootstock? He goes, I'm the looks. He goes, sorry, I'm just going off on a tirade that Scoots planted in my, this was what the movie, so there's a little bit of a gardening message. He goes, kids eat berries. Everybody eats the berries. Jamie says, I give up. And then Tyrion kind of comes up with a different, he goes, go run away together. He goes, go get your sister and your, you know, true love. Start a new life. He goes, I'll tell you where the armoire is. You could go back out through the armoire. There's a mansion on that side too. And he says, you could start a new life there. Do it. He goes, but before you do, ring all the bells. So again, this was one point in the movie and actually a show I didn't quite get. I was like, but if you're ringing the bells, like when it's not 100% guaranteed, because they thought they were supposed to ring the bells when they say, hey, we give up, Cersei's gone. But he says, ring the bells no matter what, kind of. That's how I took it. And he says, you're going to get in a lot of trouble with the Queen of Gardens for this one. He goes, it'll be a fair trade. Also, the numbers constantly change. It goes from millions to thousands or something, but whatever. He says, I owe you for, he goes, dude, like we already been through a lot in that first movie. So you helped me deal with mom and grandma. You got me through it. And it's really a loving moment. He says, I love you. He says, I love you too. So that's it. Then we see the duck pond outside of Cersei's house has this giant duck pond covering a lot of, like 50% of the backside of the house. And in it are all these Canadian geese, which always bug people that come to, like, they're protective because they say no one's going to come bug this side of the geese pond with the geese there. No one's going to bug, like, bother because the geese will bug them. Then we see a bunch of kids or adult kids getting ready to defend the pricker bushes with berries and stuff like that. Then we see the moving pricker bushes and stuff getting ready to defend things. Then we see this cool Arya and Hound moment where they're rolling into the, they're already into the cat, like these weed gardens, I guess we could call them for shorthand. Even though there's flowers and birds and everything in them. Like, oh, then Jamie comes in. He kind of ungloves his gold hand and tries to get it. Then we see the Golden Company who are, again, protect, they say, we're here to protect the weeds, man. We can't, like, they're just working there. So they actually believe in the cause of garden balance. They just believe in they say, we're supposed to be here protecting this garden. And people are like, it's not a garden. It's just weed, overgrown weeds. And they say, you don't know what's on inside. Tons of birds and, you know, forest friends. So there's a showdown or a stare down with the people that work for the Garden Queen, who are like the snow kids and the other kids that have gone through the wardrobe, then the garden guards, and then other people like from other realms that the Garden Queen has liberated. Now, she liberated them from being forced to work, keeping gardens in balance, like where she said that they were getting working and not getting paid. Yeah, but that part gets kind of forgotten about. So we see all the other kids. Everybody's getting ready. If you open her to the bells, call it off. Tyrion again says to Jen, like, if you hear the bells, call it all off. Don't weed this whole garden, man. Can't do it. Because Jon's just still following. He says, I'm following orders of the queen, man. I think maybe it is a good idea to at least weed away most of the stuff guarding the greater garden that Cersei's hiding behind. Tyrion and Onion Knight share a look. And then we see Cersei. She looks out from the house, like the big windows of the house over her whole garden. The garden part,
with the flowers and the, like, trim, you know, the landscaped garden and the weeds protecting the landscaped garden. Close up a house is something. Two birds. What does that mean? Jamie tries to get in. Oh, we see two nice birds. They kind of become a thematic thing. And one of the birds has a toy in one of its things. And they just kind of influence, like, I don't know. They're kind of there to just tell, like, an extra story of, like, the plight of two birds caught in the middle of this garden where every kid is acting like a kid. And instead of saying, let's just protect the balance of this whole thing, we hear a little tease of Reigns of Castamere because everybody tries to get in the house once they know or once they suspect this garden's about to get weeded. Some of us are weeds, but some of us like Bernie the butterfly might say, hey, I'm a caterpillar on the leaf of a weed. Yeah, what about me? You know, then I say, I hear you. That's like, this is where this like really paid off. And especially in Miyazaki styling. Yeah, let's see. Reigns of Castamere, Circe, Tyrion. Oh, so there's a lot of shots of facial reaction shots and really strong acting, silent acting. I mean, in the animation, I guess it was not acting in what I was watching, but I was comparing it to the Game of Thrones episode. There's wind. We see the geese pond or the duck pond again. The geese are waiting. Then the wind kind of picks up. One of the head geese, there's even people in swan boats down there too, which I didn't notice originally. Yeah, kind of geese keepers or whatever. And what does that say? Birchers. So Euron. So Cersei's new boyfriend, Euron's down there in the geese boat. And he looks up. Now, Cersei, she has that giant goose, right? And all of a sudden we see her goose coming down and then we hear this sound and it's the sound of a friggin' mower, like a lawnmower, which she had gone, not just a spoiler, she had gone through the armoire back to the modern world, got a lawnmower, then came back. So obviously for a world that's never dealt with a lawnmower that's full of weeds and flowers, the geese don't like that, so they fly away. Euron jumps out of the swan boat, and the swan boat gets lawn mowed. And Euron is in a duck geese pond, which is just like gross anyway. So the geese are gone, they fly away. Birchers, I don't know what that means. Then we have a standoff between the garden guards. The people from the armoire team. Everybody, they're waiting against the Golden Company, who, again, like I said, the one dude, he's like, was a wit, like, what are the kids, like, original investors or something, I don't know. So they're waiting, everybody looks uptight, they're exchanging looks, and then they start hearing sounds, and they say, what is that sound? Especially, again, in world that's never heard a lawnmower sound is distinctively out of place. And especially, like, when you listen to it, you know, it makes a sound as it's going. You say, what is it doing, even? Grey Worm steps forward. Nobody likes it. Runeby. It's a Howard rundown. Okay. Oh, the horses don't like the sound, even. Of course they don't. Who would like the sound? I mean, I don't know. I mean, a human in our world, at a distance, the lawn mowing sound to me, at the right time of day, is relaxing. Not all the time or not too close or when I'm recording a podcast. Well, I don't have any lawn near me. So usually there's not much mowing going. Anyway, so horses don't like it. I don't know what runeby means. Mowing begins to commence. It's on. So, running, they say, okay, let's, I think this is when it starts. It says it's time to weed the gardens. So they start running towards the castle. as Cersei, like, just mows straight through a pricker bush, like, it opens the door right into the greater garden. Oh, yeah, the dude from Harvard tries to run. He was the leader of the Golden Company. He says, what the heck? I don't even believe in this cause. And Grey Worm says, Grey Worm sends him a goose's kiss. Carter of the week. Carter of the week. I don't know. It's time to weed the garden. So first just, okay. So, but they're very specific at first. They're going after prickers, thistles, nettles. I forgot about them. Cacti, which is, ooh, cacti. If you're going to even weed the cacti, I don't know. They're not even technically weeds, but they're weeding those things. And you say, okay, well, some of the flowers might get accidentally stepped on and the birds will get away. Like, so you see, this isn't great, but okay, well, they're just going to, maybe this isn't, maybe there was a more buildup. Like, maybe they're just going to weed away the prickers and the prickly things and any, you know, itchy stuff. And then Cersei will leave the house and then they'll say, okay, now we'll restore the balance. I really am the keeper of the gardens. Yeah, the garden queen. I'm nothing like Cersei and Jaime and Tyrion's grandmother and mother in the movie, the first movie that's so almost nearly unrelated to this. But then we see Cersei sees everything, but she does not see. Like, she might see it with her eyes, but her dissonance, she's on full dissonance. She hears, but she does not hear. I mean, so she's looking at an empty garden, like a mowed swan boats and no geese, and then watching a mower just mow through, watching her garden get weeded. I mean, especially pricker bushes. I mean, this is like a serious mower, you know. Hears but does not hear. Tyrion walks into the city like, holy cow, this is also Tyrion's, from a lot of people's perspective, say this is just a sloppy job, too. You know, because if you're going to do it right, you wouldn't just mow a pricker bush, right? You'd trim it down and then dig it out, not just be mowing over it. It makes a big mess. So Tyrion walks through, and it's just a mess. You see, well, these are just prickers mowed everywhere and trampling. Nothing's been done. He goes, you're supposed to do this with time, you know, to balance you. He says, oh, boy, this is really rushed, botched job. Towards it. He walks into the city or towards it, I was wondering. Then we see Clegane and the housekeeper of the mansion, whose name is Clyburn, yeah. And he says, your grace, to Cersei. Again, I'm watching this in Italian, so it's a good thing to have all this Game of Thrones names to throw around. He says, I think, and she goes, don't worry, we got surrounded by pricker bushes. He goes, there's no pricker bushes left. She goes, I got those geese that hiss and bug people, and they even poop on people. And she goes, he goes, there's no geese left. And she goes, there's nothing to worry about. And he goes, yes, your grace. Then cool walk, irate hands on Wednesday, hands of Wednesday. Heart of weeds, a cool walk into the heart of the weeds. Okay. So we have like John, Onion Knight, and everybody, and they're doing some cool walking into the like heart of like the last weeds. So they've been weeding a lot. And there's this last group of kid adults that are like defending the weeds with throwing berries and stuff like that, and swinging nettles and stuff like that. But they stop because they say, well, if you're going to, it looks like you're about to weed out. It's a little bit of like a tense standoff. And then Tyrion's waiting for the bells to ring. Jaime's running. We don't really know where he's going. Let's see. On walks. Or no, he's not running. I said, dude, he's walking. I put WTF. Cersei's waiting up in the mansion. Waits on something, I can't read it, France and Fress. And then the giant goose lands, like, with the mower still running, but not open. Like, so just the engine's running, but it's not in gear, facing everybody. But just hearing this giant goose, which can squawk with the mower. So all the kids, they say, forget it. We're not going to go ahead, take the garden, get Cersei out of here. We're done. They say, we'll just get out of this garden here.
and you can finish weeding it, I guess, or wool weed it, whatever. And then there's reaction shots, like a store stay shot, like a long shot of the sky shadow, sky shot of the garden. Then Cersei, then Jaime, then Tyrion. Tyrion's like, come on, ring the bells, man. Then we cut to start getting close-ups of Daenerys, the Queen of the Gardens, and we see again, but if you've seen the first flowers in the attic, you say, holy cow, that she is like, become one with the grandmother and the mother from that movie. The grandmother, I think, is the one. Then we see Tyrion, what does that say? Hound or hands? Fox? I think that's more of the goose. Daenerys. Then we see a close-up of her face again. And then we see, like, real close-ups of Cersei and Dany's faces. Cersei's mouth is open. One way, Tyrion's mouth's open another way, and Dany's mouth's open another way. Just good acting, good animating in the movie I saw. So we go Cersei, Dany, Cersei, the bells, Tyrion, the bells ring, and then we see Jon do, whew, I can breathe here. I'm watching it live right now, but I don't know. Oh, yeah, then... it's too late. Like, he says, John says, I can breathe. Cersei closes her eyes. I guess this is it. I lost my attempts to be the queen of this garden. Then we see Tyrion. Then we just notice that the bells are getting on Daenerys' nerves. Where you could just see by her, the animating, she says, these bells are making my ears, bogging my ears. Stop the bells. And then she says, well, I'll just cover up the bells with the sound of the mower. And then she says, you know, I'll just mow all the, because she doesn't know where the bells are in the, like, in the garden. So she says, I'm just going to start mowing all the prick, like anything. She just starts mowing, like, she's got bell overload, right? And everybody realizes, it's like you're not even mowing in straight lines or, like you say, especially with your mowing with a flying swan, it's just not a good idea. So Tyrion, we get a Tyrion, oh no, look, then Jon, oh no, look. Then a Grey Worm look that just says, I loathe weeds. And anyone that support weeds, like that the Grey Worm is with Daenerys at this point of like, let's just rid the world of all weeds. Even at growing things, that could be a weed. You know, you've seen this progression in regular humanity or in movies. You say, no, that could be a weed too. You know, once that starts, then they say, cut it all down, man. Everything. It's all weeds or it could be hiding weeds. And Jon says, no, you can't do that. And then we go through Grey Worm, like in slow-mo, just cutting mostly weeds down, but some plants. At this point, the flowers are still like mostly safe, but then some flowers start getting cut down. Then we see Dany mowing away. Then we see the city getting mowed. I mean, or whatever, the giant garden. Then we see Cersei looking at then a long shot. Yeah, then we see Tyrion, then we see the Onion Knight telling, like, the kids that used to help with the garden, say, hey, let's get out of here, because, you know, when a bricker gets mowed, you could still get, you know, he goes, let's go. So he's helping. We see more mowing. We see Jon Snow. There's, like, a shot of him from behind. It's slow. He's slow walking. He's totally stunned. Like he's going to be a double RF and is like, he's still kind of doing a little hero. They give him a little hero moment. Then we see Dany, then a long mowing shot, Cersei watching. She says to herself, maintain composure. Like you could feel her saying that to herself, maintain proper posture and composure. even as your entire garden. I mean, for her, because she says, when I was a kid, I used to dream about getting out of this mansion and having this garden be mine, protected. Then we see Jamie. Oh, this is another WTF. All of a sudden, Jamie's on the beach outside the goose pond, which that one I just said. And then I think he rang the bells, but I'm not sure. And believe me, I mean, I still, this, that part had already passed, but somehow I'm behind the episode. Oh, no, here's, okay. Well, the part where the bells got rang, I'm like exactly with the episode right now. Jon Snow slow walking. I guess I'm 3 minutes longer than the episode, though, somehow. So Euron. So Jaime comes out of the duck pond and Euron's there. So Cersei's old new boyfriend. And Jaime says, great, man. Like, we both love Cersei. Let's go get her out of there. And he doesn't tell him about going through the armoire, but he was about to. And he goes, no, man, I'm her boyfriend, period. He goes, I have a goose to kiss you. And then she'll never, you know, then it's over. Then all brings Goose House. So then Jamie says, what about a thumb war for who gets kissed by a goose? Cersei's, she's still looking on, and Qyburn says, it's time to go. And she goes, it's fine. And then we see a tear on her eye. She goes, no. And he goes, yeah, let's go to Greg. He goes, there's another place we could go. He doesn't know about the armoire. He knows about another place that's totally safe, he says. And then we even see outside that not only is Cersei using oil, now she's using propane. Like, she has this propane hookup and her mower or something. Kind of like that's the wildfire in the Game of Thrones episode. And this one was a little bit different. It was built into the mower, shot of the city. Then we see Jaime and Euron, and they go back and forth. They're playing thumb war. But meanwhile, Euron has like a goose like under his shirt. So his goose reaches up and kisses Jaime. But Jaime turns his face, so he actually gets kissed on the shoulder. And so technically, Jaime says that doesn't count as I wasn't kissed on the face by a goose. So they keep doing a thumb war. And meanwhile, you know, the goose is still trying to kiss Jaime. So Jaime again gets kissed on the shoulder again. But Jaime makes this move where he wins the thumb war, and then the goose kisses Euron in the face. So Jaime says, you lost the thumb war, and you got kissed on the face by a goose, dude. And Euron goes, well, I had you kissed twice by a goose. No one, you know, Cersei's going to smell the goose on you, dude. And he goes, well, I got to go, you know, save my sister and my true love. Bye. Go home. Too many. Okay. Where is this? Okay. No, I'm ahead of myself here. Another king for you. Off to my sister. He says, I'm the man who had a goose kiss Jaime Lannister's both his shoulders or something like that. I'm the man whose goose kissed Jaime Lannister. That's what he says. Again, I think, because I don't speak Italian. So then we see again maybe more of the mowing. Then we have the Hound and Arya. And the Hound goes, listen, Arya, do you hear that mowing? There's too many weeds. There's too much. He goes, you know what's next? She's going to mow the house down. And Arya goes, it's not possible to mow a house down. He goes, it is. That's why in the animated version, they made those attachments for the mower. And he goes, she's on a giant flying goose. Go home and be with your family. Maybe go back through the armoire. I don't know. But don't stay here. Don't be like me. Because this isn't like the movie with King Louis. You don't want to be like you. You know, I don't want to be, you don't want to be like me. And she goes, huh? And she goes, maybe he's right. And she goes, Sandor, thank you. And then let's see, stars mowing going on. maybe some more mowing, slow motion or something. And then we see Cersei's trying to leave with, now one of her main peeps, other than the housekeeper, is the old bellman or the doorman, who again, there's also this like mashup with this Mary Shelley book, I'll just put it that way. And so, his brother's a bit like a character from one of those books, even though he's, like, the doorman, the house, you know. And it's Hound's brother, Sandor's brother, Gregor. And he goes, "Your Grace," which is great. Then there's other people that try to, like, meanwhile, the house is getting mowed at this point. Says, "Hello, big brother. So, Granger waits? No, thanks." They tell Sir Gregor, they say, "Hey, we're in control of you." But Sir Gregor even knows. He says, "The house is getting mowed, dude." He doesn't speak at all, but, and again, it was in Italian anyway. But basically says, "No, thanks." Cersei says, "I'm leaving then." And then we have the showdown, which everybody's calling the, before this happened, the Clegane Bowl. After, I have no idea. Yeah, maybe they called it the stair dance or something. I don't know. Because they're going to have one-on-one thing. Foothold? I don't know what that says. Because they bust out these nerfs, like where they're trying to get nerf darts to stick on one another. Yeah, Cersei and Jaime are reunited back in the map room. So back in the attic, in this case, in the show, in the map room, in the movie, in the attic. You say, holy cow, holy deep meaning. Where it all happened, where brother and sister supported, you know, true love. I mean, maybe, you know, don't get it, you know, as don't get it to it, but it is it's still true love, or seems like it. A house was made of weeds, because so even the ivy, I think that's what triggered Danny, was that the house is covered in ivy. Because you say, why would someone mow a house? I say, good point. I forgot to mention the house is ivy covered. So then the Clegane Bowl is going on, which is basically like a nerf competition, nerf dart competition. And then you have Arya. She's trying to leave to get out of there, but like it's like hard to find your way, like when there's mowing going on and like weeding with propane weeding and just kind of like mud, you know, mud, everything. It's all getting everything mowed. Even now at this point, even the flowers are getting mowed by like it's pure weed, everything, you know, it's like at this point, don't even leave the grass, because Danny considers it, like people just have, you know, whatever you call it. I've never heard of this happening because it's so tedious. Weeding. No one ever says you really got carried away weeding. I guess they do. They say that wasn't a weed, that was a flower. Not like, wow, I was having so much fun weeding, I just couldn't stop. So this is, you know, this is why it's fiction. And especially this avant-garde stuff. A poached shot worth having? No, that's not what that says. Yeah, let's see. Everything getting mowed. Poached shot with hound. With having. Hay fever. Oh, so then Arya starts sneezing. That was one thing I noticed. Parallel shots with the Hound and Arya. That's what that says. So basically, Arya's sneezing. She can't see because her eyes are watering because there's so much stuff in the air. And the Hound's getting pelted with Nerf darts from his brother. Yeah, but then Arya gets help. A woman reaches out, she says, with her daughter. And she says, "Here's a tissue. Here's some tissues." The Hound kind of reaches to the world of absurdity, which I guess is kind of a way of kind of saying, like of commenting, maybe it's a meta commentary, I don't know, because he just starts laughing at the ridiculousness, because everything's sticking to him, nothing sticks to his brother, and he says, typical man, no nerf darts stick to you because you sweat oil or something.
So basically, he's covered in Nerf darts. His brother's actually pulling on the Nerf darts, which can leave like a Nerf dart hickey. And let's see. She gets help. Here's a tissue. Hound goes absurdist. Then we see John Snow. And I guess we just see John Snow kind of reacting to all the mowing that's going on. More of the propane wildfire in the Game of Thrones show, propane weeding going on. Let's see. Starts a teeming Satharnan fallback. At some point, John finally realizes, like, all of the people from my part of the, like, that came through the Armoire with me or from the world of the Armoire, we should have never gotten involved with this other move. You know, he says, let's go back to the north. But everybody has weed fever. I guess you'd call it that, weed fever. You say, how did you, why'd you weed everything? Well, I call it weed, it's a bit like, remember when Scoots talked about getting spree fever? What's spree fever? Have you ever eaten like three sprees in a row? What's a spree? Kind of like, it's a sweet tart with a candy coating on it. Okay. And if you have too many in a row, or sweet tarts, or maybe even other things like that, do you ever get feverish from having those in a row? Wow, that's... So this is like that with weeding. You do so much weeding, you get a... You act feverish, at least. Oh, yeah, because John says, fall back. Flowers are getting ruined, too. At some point, even the weeders are going to get weeded. Yeah, which we already start to see. Arya took a little nap. I think she sensed the Hound was getting, you know, because of the parallel shots. Then we see even the bells, like some of the bells start falling on Arya. Then as Arya runs, she thinks, I think I'm going to repot some of these plants so they don't get mowed. But then as she runs and drops them. Cersei and Jaime, they realize that this is like they're in the attic. They say, oh, we're going to sneak out this way. And they say, oh, we can't sneak out. So they sit back on their beds or whatever. And they say, let's comfort one another because they hear the mower going and everything. You know, it's not easy. Cersei just lost, what she thought she had. And they say, remember the good days in here? We had just some good days. We hear the song, I think, again. Yeah, nothing. They say, Jamie says, nothing else matters. So let's just be here together and comfort one another. And then they get like proverbial. They get kissed by geese, basically, metaphorically kissed by geese. As we hear Rain's Casimir, potted plants crying. I don't know what that means, but I'm sure the potted plants were crying when they saw this. I don't know, honestly. They stay forever. Potted plants crying. What else would start with a P? I guess that is potted plants. I don't think so, though. But yeah, there's another shot. After that is something, Arya. Maybe she saw the plants that she dropped. Then Arya walking through what was once a garden. Oh, yeah, this is the end of the episode. So, basically, after Jaime and Cersei get kissed proverbially by geese, we see Arya walking through. Like, so this is a poor post-garden scene here. No garden left, no flowers, no weeds, no grass, you know, but there's floating things in the air. Very, very cinematic. She's walking through. You could say flowers no more, garden no more. And then she sees this one swan standing there waiting for her, which is strange, you know, but the swan is covered in like grass and clumps of mud and stuff. And she gets on the back of the swan, giant swan, by the way. Sorry about that. And the swan waddles off with her on it. Maybe it's a duck. I guess probably it was a duck.
Now I'm thinking about it. White duck. Probably, maybe not a swan, because she put her hands around his neck. And that concludes, that was the end of the movie. The credits rolled. It just faded out with Arya, or the character that to me represented Arya. So all in all, a lot happened, I guess. And we got one more episode together. I don't know, again, what will this week holds for me. Maybe somebody will call me and say, there's a part three. Flowers in the Attic 3, Weeds in the Garden. I guess that was probably what it was called. Again, I didn't take the time to, there's no recording allowed. Otherwise, I would have taken, recording some of this stuff. But thanks, everybody, let me into that screening and let me know about it so I could compare. And, yeah, so that's a little bit about, we got plenty more goat content here. We got Time and Impounce. We got the Prayers, the Old Gods, and the New. So I'm here to keep you company. And yeah, don't worry, it'll be concluded in a satisfactory way. Just like this movie was, you're riding away off to dreamland, waddling off on the back of a swan, just like Arya did. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, welcome to a daily scheduled but surprisingly good and out of the blue. We're interrupting your regular scheduled programming with some regularly scheduled programming here on K-Pounce Radio, the radio of best friends and cats and kids everywhere. K-Pounce Radio, the radio of best friendship. And now we present the adventures of the brave, of the courageous, and of the two of best friendship, the adventures of Tom and Pounce in the world of Noir Chardonnay. K-Pounce Radio.
Yes, it was this Tommen here. So Tommen, as I was once known, now just Tommen. One name. Here with my best friend, Sir Pounce, in my lap at this time, behind my desk. A clock on the wall behind me, not ticking because, again, I've bought another clock to wind. But Sir Pounce is sitting here, and when we're in an office, when my phone rings, now this is took a bit of explaining for me, and then a bit of explaining for you, because a phone, in your world, they try to limit my screen time when I'm Mikey, you see. I guess I would just say it's a communications device, it's a phone. And it rings, and someone says nothing. I say, hello, hello. And they say, is this Tommen and Pounce? And I say, specifically, this is Tommen. So Pounce is here in my lap, though. Well, what could we do you for? And they say, I think I'm looking for you, but I can't find you. And I said, oh, okay, there's something familiar in your voice, And they said, yes, there's something familiar in my voice. And I said, what do you call yourself? You know who I am. You have me at a disposition. You have me. What do they? They call me Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I like the sound of that. It's familiar but different. And where should we meet? Well, I'm at the Down and Out Cafe right now. What do you say you meet me here? Well, actually, I prefer not, because I've eaten there before, and it's subpar. But what I could meet you at is someplace a little grittier. There is a place where there used to be this new pastime here, subpar golf. It was indoor mini golf, putting, actually. But I think that's where we should meet. It's no longer in business. But Noir Chardonnay's working on a new business there. And so I have a key. So I'll meet you out back in the alley behind Subpar Golf. Okay. I'll see you then. And so we went, and Sir Pounce and I, we headed out to the city. The city known by a million names, but it could be summarized in just one. In the day
It was one of those hot, hot days in the city. Hot in the summertime. Humid. Hazy. I'll say it, heckalacious, even. But Sponce and I, we headed down to subpar. We actually headed in the front door because this was a move. I said, Sponce, I'd prefer not to go. And then we opened up, and then we closed the front door and put the blinds down so no one would say, could we come in and play mini golf? That's actually how Noir Chardonnay ended up purchasing it. I'd said, oh, I would love to, what is this in here? Is this grass for me to lie on? And they said, we're no longer in business. And no, I get in the Noir Chardonnay said, interesting. So explain to me the whole thing. Putt-putt was what does someone, anyway, we went in there, I opened the back door and I let, as soon as I was going to just cut to the chase, but when I opened the door, standing there in the doorway against the sun and sky, I'm not sure if I, to be honest, I wasn't sure if I was looking at a man or a god. I was just stunned and overwhelmed with feelings of both envy and aspiration as the person. And I said, are you Jesus? I said, hey, who? And I, then I said, are you Jesus? And they said, yes, I am. And I said, I hope you're comfortable with me saying you're very, and they said, thank you. And I said, come on in. Welcome to subpar. Please close the door behind you. And as they closed the door and the lights in the subpar, it changed from the light from the sun from outside. The person, he looked a little grittier, he looked a little tired, but he still had that, where I just said, whoa, what would life be like for this person compared to me? This person, people probably smile when they come in, and, you know, a whole thing. I went on a whole tangent, and they said, excuse me. And I said, oh, okay, why don't you join Sir Pounce and me for a round of mini golf, and tell me what's happening, Jesus, And they said, okay. And we started to play. And the first, now this was like, not everything was working correctly. The first one was a mailbox. You try to roll the ball and then you make it jump. And then the mailbox, if you get it in, it goes down the pole holding the mailbox and you get a hole in one. Also, the flag pops up when you get it in there. It's a cool effect. If you miss, you just drop down to lower level where the greens are. I was explaining this to Jesus, and Jesus didn't ever play a good. It wasn't a popular game, you know, mini golf in my world, in the world of Noir Chardonnay, say. But we started to play, and above our heads, the lights flickered, and the sun set. Dust was drifting in and out of the light, making it look like a precipitation almost. And it ended up just like, of course, that this person made a hole in one on the first try. And again, I said, well, oh, by the way, the maximum number of shots you could take is five. And we went on to the next hole, and they said, do you keep score? So I did good. The lower score is the better. And I said, it's part of it is just having fun. Also, you could lie on the grass. You know, that's something, too. And so Pounce likes going in and out of the different features. The next one was like a pinball game. And again, you had to get it right in the middle to get a zero, to get a hole in one. And I said, this is based on another game, a pinball, where your ball gets bounced around. Doesn't know where it's going. Knows it what you like. And Jesus said, I know how that feels. And I said, I'm sure it looks like you do. A beautiful gleaming silver ball or a golden ball, you know, if you wanted to, you know. It goes, I think it's silver though, because it's more reflective. Getting bounced around all around. But then you say, well, isn't that the point of the game?
Another hole in one, this Jesus got. And again, I actually got a four. So I was doing better myself. Then we went into one that was kind of boring. Like you try to roll it over a fake river. And you could fall into the river. And then you go over like you're jumping a broken bridge, I guess is what I'm saying. And if you jump a broken bridge, a broken bridge into a covered bridge, you could get a hole in one, which Jesus did first. And I said, "My, you're pretty good at this golfing. You kind of look like, from my understanding, you may look a bit like a golfer. Or you could, you know." Jesus said, "Thanks, but I thought I was here to get some help." And I said, "Yeah, why don't we just lie on the grass instead of playing the game over at this hole, because it has a bit of a long, this is the one with the longest greener fairway or whatever." And I said, "Also, this one has these mounds, which are good. They're hard to get up and then the ball rolls back down, but they're good for holding your head up." And so we laid or lied next to each other, Jesus and I, Sepounce patrolling around us, studying Jesus. And I said, "Even Sepounce is checking out this Jesus." And I said, "Why don't you tell me?" He said, "It's strange, you know, looking at you, look at how easy Jesus took up a golf and you just hit all those holes in one, a natural. But then I see a look in your forehead and your actual eyes, something happening there in your brow that tells me you're not quite sure if you're even good at it or not, and you're not having fun at all, and you wish you were somewhere else where you don't wish you would be." And I said, "Is that what your forehead is doing?" And Jesus said, "You tell me." And I said, "It is what it is doing." And I said, "You know, I think what I've heard is that that's a place people hold tension, Jesus." And I said, "I've learned a technique, though." And I got some golf balls. And, you know, this is part of my technique. Of Noir Chardonnay. I said, "Actually, Noir Chardonnay did teach me this." And I got some golf balls, and I showed him how to massage his forehead with the golf balls. Not as comfortable as massaging your back. But I said, "Do it gently, and it will release some of that tension in there." I said, "The red ball is particularly good, and the purple ball for the kind of tension you seem to be experiencing." And he said, "What kind of tension?" And I said, "You're in conflict. You forgot how," I said, "it's complicated." I said, "I don't even understand it myself, to be honest, Jesus." I said, I think this is a very, all you could say is it's a very confusing situation for more than one person, though, I think is where you've turned away. Do you understand what I'm saying?" And Jesus said, "No." And I said, "Okay, let me explain it to you." And I said, "Let's walk the course. Let's get up." And we started to walk the course. And I said, "Let's just imagine that at every hole you get a hole in one. Hole three, hole four, hole five." And here I was getting four, you know, fours and fives, maybe a three, maybe even a hole in one. In the one where you're trying to make it look like you're... with the C-L-O-W-N, because that one I seem to be more focused on. And I said, "Let's just say you play, and then you start to think, just about getting these holes in one. And maybe this helps subpar stay in business, because they say, look at that man getting all the holes in one. I want to golf where he golfs." And somehow it becomes this relationship, right? So you come here. You think you're having fun, but you have to keep hitting holes in one. And he said, "I'm confused." And I said, "Well, it's a confusing situation. But here's the thing, Jesus. The whole time you were playing with a boy named Tommen. All that time." And he said, "And I forgot. I said, I don't know if you forgot, but you may have been distracted. Distraction upon distraction upon distraction, right? Because you have the situation, which we'll never speak of other than to say that ever again, or even refer to it in any manner. See? Then you have the feelings, but then there's multiple layers of confusion, and then you don't know how to feel about it. Then you have the multiple distractions of feelings about the confusing things. And you could even probably say to yourself occasionally, I don't even know why I'm hitting these balls in the hole. Or, you know, oh boy, I didn't realize that was, you don't even know why you're putting, oh, you don't even know why you're playing this game. It's not the Game of Thrones. It's another much straight. There was a man who drank good giant's milk. And I said to myself, what in the hay? So here you find yourself with hole after hole of golf played successfully. And you had a boy next to you and you never even noticed he was playing with you, watching you. And not, you know, and also your feelings, you know, don't, no offense, you can't keep them, they're vibrating all around you. The whole golf place, you know, your handsomeness can't just mask everything. To be, you know, to cut to the chase. And then he smiled at me and threw his hair back, and I forgot for a while what we're talking about. Because I said, and then he said, hey, let's go look in the mirror, noticing something about you. And we went and looked in the mirror, and he started to show me, he said, I think your hair could be like mine. And I said, no, never. And he said, let's go, would you prefer to practice some, because he was like, I noticed something about your golf swing, too. And I said, no, I'd like to, what, golf, no, if I could have this hair. And he said, listen, I'm sorry. I didn't realize, you know, that you were, you know, goes, I gotta, and he said, it's probably something beyond apology, you know, but you're moving forward in this world, you know, maybe you and I could, maybe you could teach me about my hair, and just that way when you're looking, and it looks like your brain is empty, I have that feeling sometimes, but the look on my face, someone said, once said it's dunsical, where you, even I, you know, makes me sigh, even though I have no business sighing, I do. So maybe you could, and he said, I'd like to teach you about those things. Let's go get your hair cut, and I could teach you about flicking your hair. And maybe we could just be friends. And I said, maybe we could just be friends. And we set off, the two of us, into the night, you know, the dark, you know, the night was hazy now with the heat and the humidity hanging over it, we closed the door on that chapter, and we went, oh boy, did my, now, I'm not, I don't want to brag here, but you've never, you know, once I was a detective, now I'm a deb, I have great hair. I didn't realize it. He just said, well, if you just do this, and he even showed me in a true way, he said, we have the same hair. It's just a matter of styling and of your self-possession. He's still giving me those lessons, and he said, you don't have to, he goes, you don't have to think it, you just have to know it. And then he said, maybe shake it. And I said, okay. So that's an update for now. Yeah, I'll talk to you soon. See you at another world of, well, thank you for joining us on K-Pounce Radio, radio of cats and kids and best friends everywhere. It's time for my prayers to God's old and new, and newer. Crone, Sweet Sweet Crone, Miller Smith, Barky, Jester, Hound Dog God. It's I, your humble servant, and now more ways than one. You're in some sense an employee, or what do they, what do you call it? What do you call it when you're a camper? You're camper. Sorry, guys. It just so, sounds so funny. It really makes me sound like I should have like elastic pants, like elastic waistband pants, and a sleeping bag, you know, holding a sleeping bag over my shoulder. I don't know why I have that image either, God. So don't worry. You know, if there's a, well, that's a question, God. So I didn't even think about this. Crone, sweet, sweet crone, Miller Smith, Barky, Jester, Hound Dog, God. Is there going to be uniforms at this camp? I don't think there, usually you get a t-shirt. Crone, what do you think? Are you going to have like issues on length of shorts? Because shorts nowadays are, oh boy, are they short. Not on me. But, you know, there's a lot of short, people wear short shorts nowadays, Crone. Okay, well, let me get to the point, because that's, you know, that's not what I'm good at. We only have our time together on this audio podcast is short, and on, unless I'm watching you on repeats. And so really formalizing our connection here through this summer camp where I'll be a camper. One of your campers, I feel like at least 30, 30, 40, 50. I mean, even, you know, I feel younger, Crone, and the rest of you. That wasn't just because it was age. It wasn't just directed at you, Crone. It was just, you're the top of the list. So I believe it or not, I have been thinking since the last time we spoke, God. So, you know, that doesn't always happen, or praying. But I wanted to talk to you. So let's go over our goals, because I don't know if we have any. Don't think I'm reviewing things because I don't have anything. So our goal is to have a summer camp where yearly, I would have a yearly reason to supplicate, you know, be in supplicants. Remind me, spiritual connection, you're right, spiritual growth, like a yearly reminder that of all my spiritual progress. Why? I may be in a good mood today. I don't know what it is. It's just I'm infused with your spirits, gods. Jester, are you tickling me or something? Barky, is that you? But anyway, so the goal is to have a summer camp so I can stay connected to you. Because otherwise, you know, it'll be just those humble reminders we call real life. And sometimes those I can say, oh, shucks, with a lot more sailor-like words. Instead of saying, thank you, Crone, Miller Smith, Barky, Jester, for once again humbling me and reminding me. So summer camp is a way to do that, but fun. You know, you skin your knee. And at summer camp, you say, well, let's go to the canteen. Let's rub some dirt in it. Go for a swim. Come to the, we didn't have a place for that, but we'll have that. Don't worry. Maiden, that's right. We don't have, I mean, I don't want to, I guess I don't want to put myself, but if I scrape my knee, it really here's the thing, mate. Now I'll work there. You scrape your knee, believe me, I'll be there. Do you prefer isopropyl or the other stuff, peroxide? Because I got my cotton swabs ready. Cotton swabs at the ready. Sorry, I got off topic there. So, oh God. So we're gonna have a summer camp where we can connect. Where all the other people, you know. People without the people that also will eventually praise you once they catches on. I mean, maybe not having the most successful TV show or one of the most successful ones, you know, water cooler television that I know of hasn't. I don't know if you knew this, but that's sometimes why I'm a little bit confident is, well, you probably know more than me how many people are praying in other than me. And I don't want to get smoted, but, sorry, guys. I guess this is why I do need to be humbled. You're right, Crone. Anyway, guys, the original goal for this conversation, since it's our second to last one before summer camp, was to think of a commercial. Because I said, and this is a brainstorming technique. We're not actually going to make a commercial for the summer camp, because if the gods old and new are there, who would need a commercial, especially if you hit the right price target? Is this because ideally we'll be going for that like the competitive price, because like I said a couple of years ago, my cousins told me how much the summer camp we used to go to cost. And I looked at my daughter and I said, I love you. But maybe, like, I just missed the mark. It was very affordable is what I'm saying. We want people that don't have the means to get there to be able to do that. But that's not what the commercial's about. That's in our mission statement that one day will be written around year 40 of the summer camp. And then I was thinking about the name, but I prefer the name of the camp come up organically. Also, I just didn't have a good catchy name, and I didn't want to, like, I think, you know, if one thing I've learned, you gods deserve good names. Crone, you came, whoever, the first, the Andals or whatever named you. And I think the rest, in the Smith, probably the Andals of the, first of their name said, hey, Smith, the warrior. Oh, boy, that warrior. Hey, get your own, hey, warrior, here's something. Get your own summer camp, we make moon pies at this summer camp, not like we make horseshoes. So that's what's forged at our summer camp. So that could be in the commercial. But the idea of coming up with the commercial gods, a television advertisement, is just to help us brainstorm. I don't know if you've done that technique. I don't know if I've done that technique. I should have come up with a commercial for all of you. Maybe then there'd be more people praying in other than just me. And of course, there's probably other billions of people doing it. Just no one gets a hold of me and says, Scoots, I pray. Well, Barky, no offense to other guys, Barky, you are really popular with the listeners. Like, sometimes listeners contact me in your name. Crone, usually I get messages about, in your defense, they say, hey, are you? And I say, no, I'm praising the Crone. So the other gods, you deserve all the attention you don't. You deserve more. You deserve a summer camp with the commercial. And I guess I ate up most of our time for the commercial talking, which, of course, you would know that was going to happen anyway, gods. But so it'd just be a summary of the summer camp, like bask under the trees, Barky. It would probably do that. Forge your team building skills near Forge. Also, there's a place called Old Forge, which we may be able, like, my dad knows somebody who lives there. Forge your team building, forge a strong, we'd come up with something about self-esteem, kindness, forge bonds that'll last a lifetime. And then you say the name of the camp. Connect to nature, to trees, with something high in the sky, yet roots grounded deep in the earth. Barky. Learn to eat well, to prepare food with your community members. And the effort that goes in, to all state, something like that, Barky. Miller. This is sounding more and more like there used to be this thing, Club Med, I think it was called, or something, where families of means would go. This isn't what we're shooting for, but something like that was the Miller. Eat 3 squares a day. Bail your own hay, the Miller. I know, Miller, this is why it's brainstorming. And, right, I have a brainstorm, so it's hard for me to brainstorm. So, Crone, learn to respect the wisdom of your elders. Take lessons from your past and use them to gild your future. The Crone. Establish a vision for what you might want to be. If we had like 4 value, like there's 4-H camp, Crone, Miller, Smith, Barky, Jester. I forget what the 4-H is. Horticulture, horses. I think horses are at least like 2 or 3 of the 4-H's are horses. Horticulture. I love 4-H. I'm just not a member, and I don't know what the H's are. And I know you could reach out to me and let me know. But horticulture. because I get to meet the four kids from 4-H at the Great New York State Fair, and I know probably horses isn't one of them, but just something I associate with. What do you 4-H is? Horses, horticulture building, horses, and wholesome fun. Could you keep 4-H from smoting me? Just do me a favor. Put up anti-smote thing over me. All apologies. I'm always incorrect as Scoots here. But they have four values. I'm not aware of what they are is what I was going to say. Health maybe is one of them. I don't know if happiness would be one. Because I don't know for our camp, we all know, happiness is in the sweat on the grindstone, reality, not on the nostalgia you bathe yourself in when you think of in design summer camps and nostalgically look to the future in some sense and imagine you're going to, so back to the commercial, learn to perform, something, the performance artist within you, clown around and, learn informed practices at the same time, team building and, the jester. And then maybe for Hound Dog, sometimes life can just be a real drag. Sometimes life takes a turn that's unexpected. You fall down and skin your knee. What's Scooter doing with the maiden? No, back to the commercial. And sometimes you fall down and skin your knee. What's important is not how many times you get knocked down, but how many times you get back up. Hound Dog God. I think that's it, guys. I really ate up a lot of time without, talking to you and prayer, just praying and general praise and check-ins. So, but that would be the general gist of it. I think the idea, for the most part, it's like we just got to put the co-admittment for next week, last week together, guys, on a formal basis. But thanks for hearing me out. It's always an honor. And I think you get the idea, guys. Really, I'm trying to sell you on also a Barkey. Did you purchase any land or acquire it by whatever eminent rights? If you're a holy, is it your eminence, right? So your eminence rights, instead of eminent domain, it's all in the domain of your eminence. Am I just mincing my words, Barkey? But if you actually did acquire any camps, preferably one with a completed maintenance schedule and all that, in some areas, modern amenities would be nice. Especially restrooms, really, we don't want to skimp on that. Okay, guys, it's just me, your humble servant. Every day is a treasure. Good night. I want to thank everybody that reviewed the show on Apple Podcasts recently. GREWS from the UK said, amazing. Normally, I'm tossing and turning all night, but Scoot's slurred words and his tangents are amazing and let me sleep straight away. Esram Novd said, yes, always had trouble sleeping as long as you can remember. Friend told me about this podcast, life-changing. If I'm not asleep before it even starts, I'm dozing off in 5 minutes. Make it your routine. Olive Cat, bonus episode. Thanks for the bonus episode. I love it. Thanks, Olive Cat. M. Bish said, works consistently for bad insomnia. After trying guided meditation and other sleep podcasts, this is the most effective and unique. The loosely structured, meandering narratives and droning voices scoots untie the knot of chronic anxiety and tension that get in the way of sleep. In a way I can't explain, the stories without any ending, a hallmark of the podcast, distract your mind just long enough that you become relaxed and drift into sleep. Nothing short of a miracle. Jess of the BUGS says, don't know how it ends. I've never successfully listened to an entire episode. More soporific than chamomile tea. Legitimate, the sun
of Hypnosis and Sleeping Beauty. Thanks. Johnny F. says, I mean, it works. I'm bad at sleeping. This podcast helps with the nights where I'm especially bad. I wish I could tell you what's actually about. I'm normally asleep, though. Belieber Bizzle. Hey, this person's a Belieber. Sands down one of my favorite podcasts. His voice is relaxing and helps take my mind off of things. Thanks. Perlita P. says, thank you. You keep me company. You're brilliant. A little bit of wit. Always friendly. Do you believe in life after love? Thanks for your hard work and perseverance. B. Marsh says, took a couple times listening, but I'm hooked. Pretty good podcast. Thanks for helping me fall asleep. Blue Face says, the original snoozecast, except no substitutes. Hurricane Elisa says, finally able to sleep, dealing with some stuff, and if I'd guess to help me sleep, it's not easy. Jen Coco says, thanks for everything. Until a couple months ago, I had trouble sleeping. Then I found Sleep With Me. I don't know what I'd do without Scooter. 97% of the time I fall asleep. Thanks a lot. Wiffle King, best intro. I can't write a review. Best intros ever. Can't write a review about the show because I'm never awake past the intro. My home and life work schedule is so sporadic that getting to sleep is a challenge. You know, it's tough to wind down. After a few hours, I put on Scoots. And no BS, I crash out every single time before a story starts. Scoots Mellowtone. Oh, at least I think I'm asleep by then. Maybe it did start. I don't know, and I don't care. Scoots Mellowtone. Tonin. Mellowtonin. Huh. See what I did there? It's a lifesaver. Thank you. Easy Wizard says, Alfred F. Is he a hypnotist? I don't know. All I could say is it works. Skeptical at first, but curious. Gave it a shot. And to my surprise, I slept like a toddler. I've listened to the podcast every night for the past week. Bibstagram says, I love reading the bad reviews because they're the reason exact reasons I love the show. Thanks, Bibstagram. Intro song puts me to sleep. Scoots' voice dulls my inner voice. That keeps me up at night. Now I get excited to get into bed and drown out the day with pointless meanders. Thank you. Adrielosaurus says, I love this guy. Voice is boring. Story's hilarious yet boring. Great job at rambling. And the tidbits you do catch are always interesting. Gives you something to focus on, but still something not important. I started listening when I was having a hard time sleeping when I was traveling. I listen every night. It's the point where I hear his voice, I'm instantly relaxed. I'm out by a 30-minute mark, which is much better than before. Fun with Owen says, so good this podcast puts me to sleep. I used to had trouble falling asleep, but now with your podcast, I can. It took 3 tries and loved it. Thank you, Scooter. Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show by writing reviews. Sleep With Me actually exists because of listener support. You can support the show directly on Patreon, sleepwithmepodcast.com/patron, or by supporting our sponsors. That's how we keep the show free for everybody. Show also, people find out about it by word of mouth. Your word of mouth is incredibly powerful. Just let someone know about it and share your honest experience. Sleep Movie is a proud member of Night Vale Presents. In one podcast, it had 3 amazing series and an amazing book. Sleepily titled Alice Isn't on the Big Farm in the Sky. And if you like kind of a mystery mixed with a road trip and travel, journey across America with a, you know, edge of mystery, check out Alice Isn't Living on the Big Farm in the Sky, one of my favorite podcasts. We also did a crossover a while back, Alice Isn't at Brunch, I think it was called, but check it out at nightvalepresents.com because then you can see the real title. Assuming he's also a proud member of Night Vale Presents and PRX. You can see everything they're doing at PRX.org. There's plenty of other episodes ready to go if you need them. I'm here. Good night. All right, everybody. This is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month?
and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now, I have if you sign up for Sleep with Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep with Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep with Me Plus content only. And then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them, and so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelik's, we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. That was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. that multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. So if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support, but if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these, this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, or, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in the, at the end of the free show too. But yeah, like this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback, feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support, support at supercast.com. And good night.